thank you for making a real difference for your public radio station and for understanding how important it is in making public radio happen with your ongoing financial support. Tom Tursich actually walked around the world. He and his dog, Savannah, walked 28,000 miles across 38 countries to become the 10th person and the first dog to walk all around this planet. The idea came to him in the aftermath of a sudden death of a close friend when he was in high school. Tom realized that life is fleeting. After years of planning and the day before his 26th birthday, he set out from his home in New Jersey and headed south. 7 years later, he returned home, having walked around the world. It's all in his book, The World Walk. And Tom joins us today to talk about how spending 7 years walking is time well spent. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
What an epic journey and what an inspirational story. First of all, what are the legal requirements if you're going to get in the Guinness Book of World Records or whatever to walk around the world? And just very briefly, what was the route you took?
Yeah, so you have to walk the circumference of the Earth, and then you have to walk ocean to ocean on four continents. And for me, I was able to do that by walking from New Jersey down to Panama City, Bogota, Colombia, down to Uruguay, and then Denmark, down to Spain, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, up Italy, along the Mediterranean, across Turkey, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan, and then from Seattle back to my home in New Jersey.
Seattle to New Jersey. What a finale right across the United States.
You know, it was funny because for me, this was like the last leg. And I thought, oh, this is just a short little 7 month jaunt. And then when I'm out there and I'm pushing through the winter in Wyoming, I'm going, what am I got myself into? I thought I was supposed to be over this.
After all of that, yeah, you're in Seattle. It's just like, I could be home in 5 hours.
Yeah.
No, not quite. So what's the daily routine when you're on the road for 7 years? How many miles per day? Where did you sleep? Did you eat while walking? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So when I was walking, I would walk probably minimum of 21 miles a day, roughly. I would aim for 24. That was about 7-8 hours of walking. So I'd wake up wherever I camped. I'd have maybe some granola bars, peanut butter and jelly, a coffee. I would break down camp, hope to find a restaurant an hour ahead where I could have another coffee and some food, eat, walk another 3-4 hours, hopefully find a restaurant. If not, then I eat on the side of the road, whatever I have in my cart, walk another 3-4 hours and find a place to sleep and hide away for the night. Do some stretching before bed because
stretching.
If you don't stretch, then you're in trouble. And basically listen to podcasts for company throughout the day, take photographs wherever I was. And for a while I was writing every night pretty much in my tent. So that is what helped me put together the book, is that I had very diligent notes and stories from the walk. So it helped.
Were you writing on a laptop or in a journal?
I had an iPad for the beginning and I would journal every night, but then I was also writing these blog posts on an iPad, and then it was a laptop for years.
So I just want to talk about how this epic journey that you took paid off. You set out to learn about the world. I think a lot about quotes by very thoughtful and important thinkers. Muhammad said, "Don't tell me how educated you are. Tell me how much you've traveled." Thomas Jefferson said, "Travel makes a person wiser if less happy." Are there gurus on mountaintops that you encountered? Were there big cultural inspirations? What sort of philosophy did you pick up that you didn't have when you left New Jersey?
Man, I mean, I would not recognize myself from when I began to now. And I think the primary takeaway is just how small everyone is, how small you are, how small I am, how small another person is, and how many lives are being lived simultaneously right now. And that everyone has some form of truth and everyone has some value. So I walked for, you know, a year and a half down, and then I got into the Atacama Desert in Chile. And that first year and a half of walking was this long, long meditation. I talk about it generally as a sort of gardening. So your head is just filled with these weeds, but when you're walking, you're just pulling weeds all the time and you're clearing out your head. And by the time I got down to the Atacama Desert, I looked around and I thought all the thoughts and my garden was clear. I had no more weeds to pull. And then every night I'm laying under the stars, I'm getting crushed by these stars every night. And I thought, what is a man supposed to build his life on? Basically, when nothing is permanent when you're so small and you can only have so much effect on the world? And the answer I came to was happiness. It's, are you happy and are you making the world happier? That is the common denominator. And everyone has their religion and everyone has their different foods and their different languages and their different cultural instincts. But when it all comes down to it, this is all just the pursuit of happiness.
You know, you learn more about yourself sometimes by leaving home, don't you, and looking at it from a distance. And I feel bad for people that never leave home and they have big ideas about what's right and what's wrong and who we are and who they are.
Yeah, traveling is incredibly humbling.
It's humbling. You hit it. Yeah. What if everybody had a chance to, what if everybody had to travel before they could vote? How would that impact the United States?
I mean, I would say for the positive, it's very difficult. I'm sure you and a lot of your listeners experience this when you're abroad and then you come back home, wherever that is, and you see your own home in a new light because you come back with new perspectives and you realize, oh, Denmark does this better and Colombia does this better than we do. And when you don't travel, I talk about right at the beginning of my book, is you can be very content. And I think if you don't travel, you're probably happier, like Jefferson said.
Yeah.
But you are much less wise, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's one guidebook that outsells my Rick Steves Italy book, and that's the guidebook to Disney World. And that's a different kind of travel. I mean, it's a big market. It's a legitimate market. It's La La Land, you know? You don't learn anything about your home by going to Disney World.
Yep. Everything is controlled. And the strange thing about Disney World to me is that America is probably the least pedestrian-friendly developed country in the world. And people spend fortunes to go walk in a walkable town, which is Disney World.
That's an insight that you get from walking around the world. Tom, it is so inspirational to talk to you. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I had the gumption and the time and the excuse or the energy or whatever to do this walk. But of course, everybody doesn't. Only 10 people have ever done it. What's your big takeaway? What's the lesson? What can we learn from you so we don't have to do this walk?
I would say the lesson is to just pay attention. Life is always happening right now, and you control less of your life than you realize. So when you fail, that's a part of life. When you succeed, don't give yourself so much credit and do the same for other people. And whatever life gives you, I think you should always have the thought of, so this is life. I don't know. I've never been here before.
Tom Tursich, thank you so much for sharing with us The World Walk.
Thanks, Rick.
Tom Tursich wrote The World Walk to take us with him on a 7-year trek around the world. He posts to YouTube under The World Walk. Have you ever put into words why you listen to public radio? Hey, I'm Rick Steves, and I listen because this is the kind of media outlet that respects me. It doesn't see me as a consumer to be sold something, but as a member of our society. Not as eyeballs on some ratings chart, but as a neighbor, a fellow citizen. This is People's Radio, and it's worth supporting. Our communities are better places to live when they're served by a strong and vibrant public radio station. So what kind of community do you want to live in? Do you see this radio station as part of what makes it feel like home? If so, then we're looking for you and your neighbors to make a decision during this special fundraising campaign. You have lots of choices on your radio dial. You know what they have to offer. But if you value this kind of radio service, quality programming without advertising, hey, that's what we're asking you to be a part of right now. Every so often, we take a few minutes to remind you that this station is listener-supported. If you haven't done so already, this would be a great time right now to do your part. Whatever level of support you can afford, it's sincerely appreciated. And I know it'll be put to good use. We're counting on you to help ensure that this station remains an important part of your community. Thank you so much for being a supporting member of Public Radio.